Welcome to The Inner Circle, the podcast where the Radius Group, a team of experienced wealth advisors, brings you inside the circle of smart financial planning. With a network of industry experts, the Radius Group discusses the latest trends while sharing timeless wealth management techniques. So whether you're looking to optimize your portfolio, minimize taxes, or plan for your future, The Inner Circle is here to provide exclusive and valuable insights. Our guest today is Dan Bittler. Dan is a partner with Robert K. Jones Insurance Agency. He is not affiliated with UBS and his views are his own.
Welcome back to The Inner Circle. I'm Blair Cornell, Managing Director and Private Wealth Advisor with The Radius Group. Today we're tackling a topic that plays a critical role in your overall wealth management plan, preparing for Medicare enrollment as you approach age 65. We know how important it is to get this step right, not only to ensure you have the healthcare coverage you need, but also to align it seamlessly with your broader financial goals. That's why we've created this episode dedicated to guiding you through the initial Medicare enrollment process. To help us navigate this essential topic, I'm thrilled to welcome back Dan Bittler, certified insurance counselor and partner with Robert K. Jones Insurance Agency in Kettering, Ohio. Dan is a frequent guest on the show and an incredible resource when it comes to the Medicare. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Blair. Great to be here and looking forward to answering some questions about turning 65
in Medicare.
It's
always a fun point in our life, isn't it? I'm not quite there, but one day I will be.
It's one time you get excited, I guess, about getting older. I don't know.
I guess that's right. Well, let's just jump right in, Dan. We got a lot of content. Dan, what's the first thing someone should do as they approach age 65?
Well, the biggest thing I'll recommend is do something. Don't just assume that you can continue on your employer coverage or what your options are. At least go through a checklist and figure out if you need to do something. Because if you choose not to do something, it could affect you long term. Medicare, you become eligible the first of the month that you turn 65. So, for example, if my birthday was April 12th, I'd be eligible April 1st of that year. If I turned 65 on the first of the month, it's the month prior. So for example, if I turned 65 on April 1st, I'm actually eligible for Medicare on March 1st. So there's a little caveat there. If you're the first of the month, it's the month prior. And the big question is do you need to enroll in Medicare Part A, Part B, D, or do nothing? And all of those things depend on what your current situation is and what your employer is offering, or if you're not on an employer-based plan. So just asking those questions is very important right now.
Yeah, that's just confusing in its own, just when you are eligible and when to start. I get that. We go through lots of those questions with clients, and that's why I always have them call you, because I don't want to guide them on the wrong plan.
And a 15-minute conversation usually gets people in the right direction. Yeah. And a lot of times it is, hey, you don't have to do anything. But there's many times where, yes, we need to do this just to make it all work.
Okay, sounds good. So how can someone figure out which Medicare options are right for them?
Well, it really depends on your specific situation, whether or not you have employer coverage, or if you're not working, do you have individual coverage? Is your spouse on your plan with you and if they're younger? All those things come into play along with retiree coverage. So there's a lot of just check boxes we got to go through as we figure out what the right option is for you when you turn 65.
Okay, that makes sense. So what if someone plans to keep working after they turn 65? How does that affect their Medicare decision?
Well, that's step one in figuring out what the next step is as far as electing Medicare. And it gets complicated. And so the first thing you got to ask is, does your employer employ over 20 people? If they employ over 20 people, by law, Medicare is secondary. So your group health insurance would still be primary. But if they employ less than 20 people, by law, Medicare is primary. So if you work for an employer that employs less than 20 people, you have to take Medicare because Medicare will be primary and the group insurance will reflect as secondary. So that's one of those times where you would need to pick up Part A and Part B.
Okay, so I think maybe you answered my next question, which was going to be, if since Part A is free for most people, does it make sense to go ahead and enroll in it right away?
Well, the answer to that is maybe.
Okay.
Okay, because if you have a plan that is a health savings account eligible plan, that's a high deductible plan where you put money into a health savings account, and you elect Part A, you're no longer able to contribute to that health savings account. So if you are going to keep employer coverage and you have a health savings account you're going to contribute to, you do not want to elect Part A and Part B. But if you have a copay plan that's not HSA eligible, then it does make sense to pick up the free Part A coverage.
So it really hinges on the HSA. That's the yes. key difference.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So what about Part B? How should someone decide whether to enroll in that?
Well, once again, if you have employer coverage and you like that coverage, you're going to continue. You really don't need to enroll in Part B if your employer employs over 20 people. If your employer employs less, you have to enroll in Part A and Part B. But Part B costs money. Part B in 2025 is going to cost $185, and every year that goes up a little bit. And there's no reason to elect Part B right now or when you turn 65 if you're on employer coverage, because when you choose to retire, you can pick it up at that point with no ramifications or any penalties or anything. A lot of people get worried about having penalties, and if you have credible coverage with your employer, you don't have to worry about penalties.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've talked about Part A, we've talked about Part B. What do people need to know about Part D for prescription drug coverage?
It's the prescription drugs, and this is a whole nother thing. So every year, your employer is required to send you what they call a credible coverage notice. So you can ask your HR department for that, or you can look through the documents and find it. And it basically says, is this insurance I get through my employer considered credible coverage? If it is, you don't need to do anything. If it's not, you may need to pick up Part D as in dog plan, so you have credible coverage and you don't have a penalty. But once again, if you have an HSA plan and it's not credible coverage, we're going to have to make those decisions of, do you want to continue to contribute to the HSA knowing you might pay a small penalty as time goes on? There's pros and cons to all that, and those are things we need to walk through.
Okay. There definitely are a lot of factors. So I'll ask you this. Are there any other important factors that someone should consider when planning their Medicare enrollment?
Yes. It just keeps going on and on with checklists. And the first one is that do you have a spouse who's maybe 62 or 61? So if you decide to jump off and go on a Medicare plan with a supplement or Advantage, what's your spouse going to do? So you may need to stay on your employer health coverage, even if you're with a small employer, and elect Part A and Part B because your spouse needs coverage till they turn 65. So you got to take in spouse and dependents into this mix. Your income, if you're still working and you are file an individual return in 2023 that's over $106,000 or $212,000 jointly, you're going to pay a higher Part B premium. So the Part B premium is means tested, and that's something else you're going to want to consider. So maybe staying on that employer coverage until you retire so you don't pay those higher amounts is going to be very important. And then don't forget about retiree coverage. You may have worked at a public sector or something like that where they offer retiree coverage, and that's something else you need to consider in this mix. So besides whether or not your employer's employing over 20 people or less and credible coverage and HSAs, you still got to consider all these items too. And that's the thing. It's a big checklist we go through to make sure we're checking those boxes that we don't have a problem when you retire 3 or 4 years from now, and make sure you have that coverage right now so there's no penalties down the road.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, there definitely are a lot of choices that we need to be making, aren't there?
Yes, and we put a flow chart together that we're happy to share that helps kind of walk through that.
That's really helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Just being able to see that visually, I'm sure, makes a big difference.
It helps, but it still seems to send you down a different rabbit hole all the time.
I'm sure that's true.
And a conversation usually, you know, solves it very quickly.
Yeah. So Dan, kind of in that same vein, I guess, finally, where can people turn for more information to help with their Medicare decisions?
So there's a lot of different options out there. Number one, Medicare.gov is a great wealth of information. The problem with Medicare.gov is it's a lot of information, so you can get very lost in it. But it's good to kind of just double check if somebody tells you something and you're not quite sure. Also, an independent insurance agent like myself is a great option. But just be, you know, make sure that person's asking you questions and not just trying to sell you. There's, you know, multiple different wealth advisors. There's multiple different independent insurance agents. Some are great. Some could do a little better. And so you just want to make sure you find somebody that's really worried about walking through those checklists with you.
Yeah.
The other thing is the Ohio Senior Health Insurance Information Program, or they call it OSHIP. You can call that number, 800-686-1578. That is an independent and sponsored by the Ohio Department of Insurance to help seniors figure out their decisions. They won't recommend any plans to you, but they will kind of help you look at these options in an independent way. But not doing anything is the worst thing you can do right now.
Yeah, that's easy to do too. And people get overwhelmed. They tend to walk away and not want to face it.
So exactly.
Just having a conversation with an expert such as yourself can go a long way. And it doesn't take a lot of time. Like you said, 15 minutes or so, and you usually can have your situation figured out.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, Dan, as always, this has been an incredibly informative conversation. Thanks so much for sharing your expertise with us today and all of our listeners. For those of you tuning in, I hope this episode has provided clarity and confidence as you prepare for Medicare enrollment. Remember, you don't have to navigate this process alone. At the Radius Group, we're here to help you integrate Medicare into your broader wealth management plan. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Inner Circle. Be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for more episodes where we address the topics that matter most to you in your wealth management journey. Until next time, take care and plan wisely.
Today's episode features financial advisors with UBS Financial Services Incorporated, a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 3601 Rigby Road, Miamisburg, Ohio, and can be reached at radiusgroup@ubs.com. This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary.